Well, good evening and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak at this foundation meeting, which, as you've heard, takes place in the context of a real festival of ocean science and ocean technology that's taking place this week in London. I want to address the question of how marine science in the UK is making a real difference to business, but I want to set this in a slightly wider context. Firstly, the ocean we learn at school covers 70% of the Earth's surface, but what we're not taught is how pervasive the impact of the ocean is on us. And there's a number of statistics here which start to reveal that. Not least that the oxygen in every second breath you take was produced by marine plankton. And also how little we know about the ocean. The Census of Marine Life Programme from 2000 to 2010 found that every specimen sample from below 3 kilometres depth in the ocean, every other specimen came from a yet undescribed species. So the ocean remains a treasure trove of fundamental discovery science and is addressing some of the key questions that relate to problems of our age. These are just some of them. Where is the excess heat in the Earth system going? Where in the ocean, that is? Can the ocean continue to absorb excess carbon dioxide? What are the limits to ecosystem resilience in response to warming, acidification, and deoxygenation of the ocean? What are the 100 million or so viruses that you will find in a teaspoon of seawater doing in the Earth system? Is the ocean's heat conveyor belt slowing down? And what is the flux of gases and other fluids from the seafloor? But turning now to the relationship between people and the sea, it can be summarised in these three broad areas in the way in which people interact with the ocean. In a system sense, we draw resources from the sea. The sea presents and poses risks and hazards to us. And through the act of extracting resources from the sea, or by the waste produced by our economic activity, we impact on the marine environment, which in turn potentially limits the ability to extract future resources and alters the risk profile presented to human activity. And there is business associated with all of these activities, whether that be exploration, mapping, exploring for resources, managing the risks that the marine environment or operating within the marine environment presents, or understanding the impacts that we're making in order to be able to live within the public regulation of the marine world. The ocean, turning to the UK, is a vital national interest. Our UK marine area is 3 times the land surface of the Earth. It extends from coastal regions to continental shelves to ocean margins and out into deep sea provinces. This is an area where there are potentially enormous resources, but where we also have a responsibility to steward the resources and in that environment. An area of the Earth's surface approximately equivalent to the entire land surface of the Earth is beyond the national jurisdiction of any country and is therefore subject to international regulation. And the UK has always been a leader in international ocean governance affairs. And it's important, therefore, that that ability to continue to play that leadership role is underpinned fundamentally by a presence in the deep ocean and the ability to inform that with practical, sound science. And looking at the overseas territories of the UK, about 32 times the area of the land surface is submarine real estate, and the UK has been responsible for designating 2 of the largest marine protected areas in the world's oceans. So it's a vital national interest from that perspective, but also it plays an important role in our economy. This recent report from Oxford Economics has estimated about 35 billion of gross value added to the UK economy comes from the marine sector, everything from oil and gas through to some of the small industries supporting the service sector, including maritime consultancy. In fact, more recent figures suggest that this is an underestimate, and this can be anything up to 4% of total UK output, just short of 1 million jobs, and about 5,000 companies generating 9.2 billion to the Exchequer. So the marine industry sector is an important part of the UK economy. It's important to stress that far beyond the traditional marine users, marine industries, that there is a very large base of the economy which is affected by the ocean indirectly, particularly those parts of the economy which are sensitive to seasonal weather and climate. The winter of 2010 caused about £230 million a day cost in disrupted transport alone. There's as much heat in the upper 5 metres of the ocean as the entire atmosphere above, and we shouldn't be surprised there that ocean forecasting, ocean models and ocean measurements are vital to seasonal weather prediction. The UK has got a world-class marine science base. This is a piece of work done in 2013 by the Canadian Council of Academies, trying to position Canada within the international context, and that is of quality of research. So the vertical axis is the impact of the marine science measured by citation metrics. The horizontal axis indicates the global average, and the further up to the right on the horizontal axis you are, the more marine sciences is a specialism in that nation's science base. So you won't be surprised to see Norway. Norway's marine science base is a very important part of its entire science base. The key message here is that the UK has a marginal specialism in marine science, but the quality of that science base is right up with the leaders, with Germany and the US. So it is a very high quality science base. The UK spends about £170 million a year on marine science. Half of that is funded by the Natural Environment Research Council, and three funders, DEFRA, Marine Scotland and NERC, fund 80% of all public marine science in the UK. Marine science in the UK, though, is also very competitive in Europe. This graph shows the UK in the lead in terms of collaboration in framework programmes from the European Commission, and the graph looks similar in terms of leadership of those programmes. But marine science is also not only competitive internationally, is strongly collaborative, as you can see from this diagram. And indeed, the National Oceanography Centre's publications, about 88% of them have got an international co-author. So the UK is very strongly connected internationally. In addition to this, it has world-class research infrastructure. In the last decade, £120 million of capital investment has gone into supporting two new research ships. The UK does not have the largest oceanographic fleet in the world by any means. It has one of the smaller fleets, but they are large, global-class vessels capable of working anywhere in the world and in the deepest waters, and they are very capable vessels. Ton for ton, you could argue that it is the most advanced research vessel fleet in the world, along with very sophisticated equipment, including deep remotely operated vehicles to use from these ships. I've given you some statistics about the quality of the UK science base, but just a couple of stories to bring that to life. In 2013, British scientists were responsible for the discovery of the world's deepest, hottest hydrothermal vents in the Cayman Trough. Not only was this a fantastic discovery in its own right, but the way in which it was done was important. It was a collaborative programme. The vents were sniffed out with an autonomous robot submarine. A research vessel went into map that and use a remotely operated vehicle to go in and sample it. The combination of technologies that made this discovery possible were very, very significant. This is the first measurements ever underneath an Antarctic ice shelf using, again, an autonomous underwater vehicle, about 500 kilometres of track length underneath an ice shelf, requiring truly autonomous capability, given that communication with the ship was impossible. And something thought impossible to do 15 years ago, but now a reality, is long-term monitoring of the global thermohaline circulation of the Atlantic Ocean, revealing for the first time the truly unexpected variability in this circulation, which controls the climate of Northwest Europe. So now I'd just like to say a few words about the UK marine science and innovation ecosystem. The diagram shows the science base, which is just not the marine science base, but science more generally, out of which is drawn and extracted knowledge, which is, if you like, channeled progressively through more strategic, directed application into use through intermediate service providers and agencies, both public and in industry, through to use, which is fundamentally about informing decisions by business individuals and governments, determining choices that we make. The UK has got a healthy innovation system in terms of having all of the right components, about 30 universities which have significant marine science strengths, a major national research institution and a number of other specialist research institutions involved in this translation pathway, a number of intermediate information providers drawing on this base, both within industry and a number of key agencies in the public sector. If you look at the geographical distribution of marine science activity in the UK, it looks something like this. The brown dots are some of those 5,000 marine businesses. In green are shown significant universities with marine interests. A number of public sector research establishments in red, and other marine-orientated public agencies, though not research agencies, shown here as well in yellow. And what you can see emerging from this is a number of significant clusters of marine science and industry activity. There's a particularly notable cluster in the southeast of England around the Southampton, Portsmouth, Solent axis, drawing on a range of expertise and some really quite exciting and spectacular elements of that, not least of which is the Southampton Marine and Maritime Institute, which is the largest business industry partnership involving Lloyd's Register shipping. What do the UK marine industry say now about this science base, which is as I've described it? And a group of marine industries, the Marine Industries Liaison Group, which is a subgroup of the UK Marine Science Coordination Committee, undertook some work last year to actually survey what marine industries said. The first conclusion was it was actually a time of confidence for the UK marine businesses. They were all anticipating growth and increase in exports. But they noted that there were common needs between some of the public and private consumers of marine science for things like seabed and habitat mapping, for surveys, for long-term marine monitoring, for instrumentation. And many of these needs were common between the private sector and the public sector. They noted that blue skies research was important, and in fact nobody questioned the fundamental discovery science aspect of the ocean, but were looking for more focus on strategic applied scientific needs, and particularly with taking a longer term view out into the future, feeling that everything, including the science, was being looked at on too short a time base. And a conclusion that much greater collaboration and dialogue was needed between the public and private sectors, providers of science but also users of science, given the commonalities. Now, marine science is making an impact on business in the UK through a variety of means. Through the provision of advice to government, a particularly relevant piece of advice was in 2009 as a result of scientific advice around seafloor geology and sediment processes. The UK has claimed 2 million square kilometres of extra submarine real estate. And in that, there are considerable natural resources for the future, and that's an important thing. Marine modelling is, and observations are, dramatically improving forecast skill in climate and seasonal weather forecasting, which I've referred to. But all of the elements that you see here, whether that be specialist consultancy, which is being provided to industry, a number of important industry partnerships, sharing of facilities, the formation of innovation hubs and clusters, networks, the provision of skills, technology transfer around, particularly at the moment, sensors and platforms, the convening power of large marine centres for the business community, spin-outs, and the accessibility to data and data products are all making quantifiable impacts on business. But the question is this enough, and can we do more? And these are some of the emerging areas which have been identified by the business community themselves through the report that I refer to, but also elsewhere. A number of knotty issues that are here and now problems, such as the question of provision of scientific evidence to support the whole issue of oil and gas decommissioning, through to the question of how to treat and understand ballast water issues, ship efficiency, which is relating to routing and anti-fouling issues, and a really serious questions around underwater noise. Also a recognition and a lot of innovation at the moment around the potential for marine autonomous monitoring systems and sensors, the future potential in marine biotechnology, where in Europe alone it's worth estimated to be worth about 4 billion euros per annum. And then looking further out into the future, questions around unconventional hydrocarbons and deep sea mining. So, to begin to conclude, just a couple of areas now which illustrate both the potential and maybe the challenge that the UK marine science and innovation system faces. The UK is playing a leading role in the development of marine autonomous systems. I've referred to some of the achievements of these long-range autonomous underwater vehicles and indeed the microsensors that go on them, which was designated recently as one of the eight great technologies and is currently getting £10 million worth of investment in capital over the next couple of years. There's a really important opportunity here and an opportunity not to miss a boat that was missed on a previous occasion. And I've referred to the large real estate that the UK has beneath the sea. And there really is a question about whether we should be thinking long-term about what might be called the deep sea frontier, the place where we are moving ever deeper for hydrocarbon extraction, potentially for novel hydrocarbons and for seafloor minerals as well as marine bioresources. And we have in the UK all of the key elements of this story: a world-class science and engineering base, the world-class deep-sea research infrastructure that I've referred to, a UK lead in many aspects of marine autonomous systems and microsensors required to do this, access to extensive deep-water marine space, a high reputation for leading in international standards in working in the marine environment. The UK is a major player in international ocean governance, a dynamic small and medium enterprise sector capable of not only developing, building, but also providing a service industry in terms of the operation of this kind of stuff, a UK-based supply chain for many of the elements required, and an oil and gas sector with many transferable skills and access to global markets. The question is, we've got all the bits, but can we join the dots? And so to conclude, some of the actions which the marine businesses have been calling, and which I think the science community recognises too, that we need to perhaps consider. Firstly, to strengthen the marine research ecosystem, to ensure that the basic science base remains healthy, but that we are more effective in terms of some of the translational aspects of research to innovation. To actually follow through on some of the very large research and capital investments, and this is a problem that the UK science base faces in generally, is that we do not always follow through these capital investments with the resource for support to be able to maintain and operate them. And to nurture these rather exciting marine innovation clusters which have begun to develop and also to become very active and increasingly networked. That we do need a longer-term strategic rounded view of the opportunities and to stand back and horizon scan beyond the immediate with wide engagement from science, government and industry. And finally, put out up the deep sea frontier as an example of what could happen if we were to pull together all of this capability, to think big, to think ahead, to join the dots. And for example, how about a real commitment to this by actually mapping the 80% of the UK's underwater space that has not yet been mapped by modern methods. By way of conclusion, I'd just like to ask a question about Britain and the sea. These are some of the sort of iconic or even caricature images that we have in our minds about the relationship between Britain and the sea. And perhaps one of the biggest barriers to moving forwards in this area is a psychological one, that many of our traditional images about the relation of Britain and the sea actually hark back to our history and are essentially backward looking. And is it time that Britain reinvented and reinvigorated its relation with the sea? It is part of our history, but it's very much part of our future and a part of a future filled with exciting opportunities. Thank you.